Welcome to the Great Awakening Ministry. I am Minister and Yogini Joanne Lee. And on this week's show, back again, is the wonderful Professor Douglas Hodgson. Douglas Hodgson is a former lawyer, dean, and professor of law residing in Perth. He undertook postgraduate legal study at the University of London before embarking on a 35-year career in higher education in Canada, Australia, and New Zealand. As a teacher, researcher, author, human rights advocate, and university administrator, Professor Hodgson has authored and published 30 peer-reviewed law journal articles and 5 books. His publications include Transcendental Spirituality, Wisdom and Virtue, and Spiritual Revelations from Beyond the Veil, What Humanity Can Learn from the Near-Death Experience, which conveys life-changing messages from over 500 of humanity, dissipating the fear of death so that we may truly live. And his latest book is Near-Death Experiences and Sacred Scriptures. And today we will discuss the magnificent manual for mankind, the Bhagavad Gita. The Gita posits the existence of an individual self and the higher God self, Krishna, in every being. It praises the benefits of yoga to release man's inner essence from the bounds of desire and the wheel of rebirth. We ask how the Gita describes God and what our relationship should be with God. What are the Gita's divine virtues that each of us should aspire to live by in our daily lives? And what is the nature of the soul? And how can the soul attain final liberation?
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Good, good. Good. Good.
Douglas, namaste. Namaste, my friend from Australia.
How are you, Yogini Joanne?
I am really, really, I'm okay. I'm good amongst all the chaos in the world, but yes.
That's good to hear.
Yeah, and you're good?
I'm very well, thank you, Yogini Joanne, and very excited to be with you again on the Great Awakening Show.
Thank you so much. And today is a show after my own heart. And I'm just going to, you know, just say the questions and let you go, because today we are discussing, well, you are giving us all of your wisdom about the Bhagavad Gita, which I believe is one of the most incredible, magnificent manuals for mankind. To give us a little bit about what is the Gita, just a few sentences.
Oh, certainly, Yogini Joanne. I wanted to issue a number of disclaimers and qualifications before I begin, and I'm happy to do that introductory context. But as you know, I'm from a Western background, and I'm from a Judeo-Christian tradition. I'm not a Hindu. But having said that, I have a passion for comparative religion, and I've studied the sacred scriptures of some 12 of the world's mainstream religions, both Eastern and Western. So that is my perspective. That's where I'm coming from. And what I'm about to tell you and your viewers is my own interpretation of the Gita. It's not authoritative, it's simply my own personal interpretation. And as I said to you by email a couple of days ago, I think it would be really interesting to share with you some of the NDE messaging, which I've researched, which parallels what is said in the Gita. So on occasion, I will do that. And as I've prepared extensive notes, I will borrow heavily from them as I go through the questions you have for me. But to answer your first question, well, Hinduism is some 5,000 years old, and it arises from the Indus Valley civilization in India. And the Gita is a relatively small section of the immense Mahabharata. And the Gita itself is regarded as the Hindu sacred scripture more illustrative than any other of the main themes of Hinduism. And I believe it is a beautiful Hindu sacred scripture. It speaks to us down through the generations. Now, the context of the Gita is an imminent battle between the Pandava brothers, including Arjuna, and their cousins for control of the family kingdom. And the Gita is essentially a dialogue between Arjuna and Krishna, an avatar or an incarnation of Vishnu. And Krishna is his royal charioteer, but Arjuna doesn't realize that, at least initially. So the Gita is described as a revealing of a secret and powerful divine wisdom. And Arjuna is overcome by doubt and confusion over whether to go to battle and possibly have to slay his kinsmen, or whether he should retreat from the battlefield and renounce the world and become a hermit or a mendicant in the forest. So essentially, the Gita is a dialogue in which Krishna reveals slowly but surely these divine virtues and wisdoms to Arjuna. So I think that's enough of the context for what I'm about to say.
Brilliant, absolutely wonderful. And so, Douglas, how does the Bhagavad Gita describe God and what our relationship should be with God? I think this is the most important question.
Absolutely, and I'm glad you begin with it. I'm quoting extensively from the Gita here, but in chapter 7, it says, "The world does not know God. God is ineffable or indescribable." And indeed, many religions are reluctant to describe God, considering our limiting human earthbound experience and the impoverished nature of human language. So some religions don't even try to describe God, but many of them do. And I will recite various divine qualities in due course. But the Gita says that very few souls actually know God. And Brahman represents an abstract principle pervading the entire cosmos. And this is reminiscent of what I've read in Taoism from China, in which Taoism refers to the Tao or the way. Now, in chapter 10, the Gita describes God as the single syllable Om, spelled either AUM or OM. And it's interesting because I've heard it said that Om is the sound of the vibrations made in the higher spiritual or heavenly realms. God is Dharma, Dharma meaning the divine law or the truth or righteousness. Om is described in various parts of the Gita as the source, the creator, the foundation of all that is, of the moving and the living and the unmoving and the inanimate. Om or God or Brahman is imperishable, eternal, immortal, unborn. Om is described as the absolute and ultimate reality in chapter 9. Chapter 17, Om is described as goodness, in the Sanskrit term of sat, SAT, is used. Om is the supreme and transcendent consciousness, as nothing higher exists. Now, here is where I'll compare the Gita with what I've learned from researching the near-death experience. And many of the NDEers say that when they left their physical body and enter the world of spirit, they became enlightened. They became aware that a far greater reality exists outside the physical body. And that's completely consistent with the Gita. Now, the Gita also says that Om is the source of all living conscious energy, the bestower of all life. God is light. And again, the NDEers describe God as golden white light. Without God, according to chapter 10 of the Gita, there is no being, no existence, no awareness or consciousness. God, according to the Gita chapter 10, also has the divine prerogative over physical death, the death of the body. Therefore, do not kill. Do not kill either yourself or others, other sentient beings. And it's interesting to note that a number of near-death experiencers has commented on this. They say that suicide is a crime against oneself and a frustration of God's wisdom and purpose for that earthly incarnation. The Gita presents other qualities of God. God is omniscient, the knower of all that is to be known. God is the wisdom of the wise. Now, many of the NDEers say that there is no such thing in the world of spirit as a question without an accompanying answer. So, when we are outside of our physical body and we think of a question that we've always wondered about on Earth, there will be an instantaneous, complete, and clear answer given to us. God is omniscience, the knower of all that is to be known. According to the Gita, God's abode is one of absolute bliss, the supreme nirvana. God is timeless, without beginning, without end, and omnipotent. God has, or Brahman has, impotent, omnipotent and infinite power. Now, I'll pick up that point that the Gita makes about God being timeless, because the NDEers also report something similar. They say that linear time, as we experience it on Earth, does not exist in the higher spiritual realms. And indeed, Hinduism believes that the realm of God is timeless. Now, how should we consider our personal relationship with God? That is very important. And the Gita in chapter 7 enjoins all of us to seek refuge only in God, to fully know God. God may be known and entered into through single-minded and exclusive devotion to Brahman. And the Hindus call this devotion to God bhakti, the Sanskrit term bhakti, bhakti. So that the knower of Om dwells in Om, and thereby is an absolute peace. God is also immanent. According to the Gita, in multiple references that I came across, God dwells within the heart of every living being, be it human or non-human. Some people call it the divine spark within, and others say it's the quality of immanence. The Gita reminds us that the single-minded devotion to God reveals God's presence in all things. There exists an essential unified identity of Brahman and the soul, or the Atman, Atman. God is also omnipresent and ubiquitous and suffuses everything. According to chapter 11 of the Gita, God sees everything and everywhere simultaneously. Nothing can be hidden from God. And I'm reminded of a beautiful passage in the Quran. It says something like this: not a leaf falls without God knowing it. God is also immutable and changeless. And many of the NDEers have reported, after coming back to their physical body, that they learn that God is present within every energy particle of the cosmos. Now, that to me is mind-blowing. What else is God? God is spirit, according to the Gita, or unmanifest or incorporeal. Is not contained within any body or physical matter. And if you look at the Christian New Testament, at the book of John, chapter 4, verse 24, God also is also described as spirit. And as one NDEer said, what physical matter could possibly contain God? So God is spirit, suffusing everything. So how should we relate to God? We should relate to God with humility and mindfulness. Chapter 18 of the Gita, I'm sorry, chapter 2 of the Gita says that our prayer to Brahman should be, please teach me, I submit to you. Please teach me your divine wisdom. Chapter 18 enjoins us to let God be our only refuge. We are to be Om's friend, devotee, and servant by obeying the Dharma, the divine law. Whenever you exercise self-restraint, make it an offering to God, and you will be freed from the bondage of karma. And I'll say more about that in December when we reconvene. But the basic message is to attain union with God through service to humanity, to detach from material wealth, power, and fame, and to bear no grudges against any sentient being. Now, those great souls of divine nature, there's a Hindu term, Mahatma, those great souls of divine nature who single-mindedly worship God and no other, with heart and mind and all their being, know and live in God. Those who know God, with mind and soul intent on God, go to God on the demise of their physical body. And having done so, they will attain supreme peace. Therefore, we must resort to divine wisdom and knowledge to attain God's nature and to truly know God. This is the essence of the Gita, the essence of God and how our relationship should be with God, as I interpret it. Thank you, Yogini Joanne.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Hey, are you tired of the irritation you get down there from pads and other bladder weakness products? Tena Sensitive Care Pads are the first ever bladder weakness pads enriched with a skin comfort formula. The skin-friendly layer in combination with the soft, 100% breathable materials helps protect intimate skin from irritation. And as always, you have triple protection from leaks, odor, and moisture. Gynecologist tested and dermatologically approved by the Skin Health Alliance. Look for Tena Sensitive Care Pads with a skin comfort formula online and in stores now.
Apples and pears, beef and Skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries
and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
Wow, that was just absolutely beautiful. I was just mesmerized by that's just it's just so gorgeous. You really touch my soul when you say it, because these words have been written thousands of years ago and they are so relevant today. You know, it's just so beautiful. And, you know, there's one question that I will ask, but I'll ask that question right at the end, because it's a personal question that will sort of like gel everything together. But the next question, according to the Bhagavad Gita, what are the saintly qualities, divine virtues, that each of us should aspire to in our daily lives? And what are the demonic or egoic qualities to avoid?
Well, that's another very important question. And we have much to learn from the Gita. Before I answer that question, Yogini Chuan, I would like to draw attention to a book that I wrote 2 years ago called Transcendental Spirituality, Wisdom, and Virtue, in which I compared the sacred scriptures of some 12 different world religions, both Eastern and Western. And I tried to distill from my research the universal ethical principles which unite those great religions. And out of that religious diversity, I found a unity of universal ethical principles. And I discern 36 divine virtues based in part on chapter 16 of the Gita, which all of us can live and practice in our daily lives. And I won't cover them, they're in my book. But my thesis that I'm postulating is that if we live out those 36 divine virtues fully in our personal lives, we will awaken our soul consciousness and elevate our consciousness. So what does the Bhagavad Gita have to say on this? To begin with, adhering to the divine virtues or the saintly qualities liberates and awakens the soul or the atom, increases the vibrations. Possessing and acting on the demonic qualities binds. It puts the soul into bondage. And if you look at the messaging of the near-death experiencers, they talk in terms of positive versus negative energy, or light versus darkness. But the Gita, chapter 16, talks in terms of saintly virtues and demonic qualities. Now, the first saintly virtue is belief in Om, or Brahman, or the Creator, God, Source, the Supreme Consciousness, meaning the same thing. And that's interesting here, because I digress to the experience of the near-death experiencers. You know, prior to their out-of-body experience, many of them had faith, belief, trust, and hope in the existence of God and heaven. But having been out of their body and gone to the veil and communicated with the light and returned to their physical body, those things have now been superseded by a certainty of knowledge and awareness of the existence of God or Brahman. It's no longer a matter of faith. They've had it proven to them. It's a fact. Other divine virtues or saintly qualities, the acquisition of divine knowledge. The Hindu term is Veda, V-E-D-A, and wisdom. Acquiring knowledge of the Dharma, what is our duty to God and others? What is the divine law? Forgiveness, and that quality is shared by many religions. Self-control, self-restraint. We must become master of our five senses. Fearlessness. To have no fear. And as the NDEers point out, fear is a very strong negative energy which prevents us from reaching our full potential and fulfilling our mission on earth. Being non-judgmental, not being critical or judging others. And many of us do that. It's very hard to avoid. But again, the NDEers say that our natural propensity to judge others is a very strong negative energy, which holds us back. Being compassionate and without aversion or hostility towards any living being. It's quite hard, think of it, not to have aversion to a crocodile or a snake or a shark. But this is what the Gita calls us to do, not to have any inherent hostility or aversion towards them. Of course, to take precautions for our own safety, but not to have an inherent dislike of them. We are to have equanimity. We are to treat all living beings equally because they are all creatures of God.
That's right.
Another saintly virtue that is contained in chapter 16 of the Gita is charitable service and giving. But interestingly, the Gita divides charity into two types. One is a what I would call material charity. So you provide someone with a meal or drink or shelter. But material charity tends to be transient, temporary only. There's another type of charity which perhaps is even more important, more enduring, and that is spiritual charity. And the Gita mentions that. To help others awaken their soul by teaching them the Dharma. And I'm minded of, I think it could be a Chinese proverb, I'm not sure. But if you give a man a fish, that man will survive for one day. But if you teach the man to fish, that skill will inure to that man's benefit for an entire lifetime. Other saintly virtues that the Gita identifies is righteousness and purity. The Hindu term for righteousness is sat. Being calm-minded and composed, having so-called equanimity, calmness and composure, even in the most difficult of circumstances, and also a sense of moderation, the avoidance of extremes. And to me, that is reminiscent of the so-called Buddhist middle path. We are called upon by the Gita to be humble and modest, to suppress our ego. And again, if I may be permitted to draw on the messaging of the NDEers, in the world of spirit, the near-death experiencers report that I and me are non-existent, that when we leave our physical body, we leave behind our pain and suffering, our earthly identity, and our ego. And as one NDEer so beautifully described, when my spirit left my body, I became everything, and everything became me. There was just a oneness. To be calm, contented, to have a serene mind and disposition. And again, the NDEers would agree, but they add this, that peacefulness and contentment, they are divine virtues, but you cannot find them without. They can only be found within. Peacefulness is a saintly quality. What Gandhi described as ahimsa, or nonviolence and gentleness. To be desireless and dispassionate, to still the passions. That doesn't mean we have to stop enjoying life, but it simply means to be careful of what we desire and be careful not to let our passions overwhelm us. Patience, integrity, honesty, and truthfulness. And of course, those are divine virtues of other religions. Chapters 12 and 5 of the Gita, they caution us. They say, endure the lust-born and anger-born rush. And leave behind fear, as they all lead to sin. Finally, we must devote ourselves to the welfare and felicity of all sentient beings. So don't ask what is best for me. Ask what is best for all around me, rather than just me. We must act according to the Gita for the good of the world. And this is exactly the NDE messaging. What is the best outcome for all concerned? Each of us will learn that when we have our life review. Too often we act in terms of what is best for us or immediate family members. It is what is best for all concerned in our community. Now, having said that, what are the demonic or evil qualities? And the NDEers would describe this as forms of negative energy.
Egoic,
And I
yes.
prepared an extensive list from throughout the Gita. And the evil qualities include passion-driven anger, aggression, spitefulness, greed, envy, violence and destructiveness, arrogance, conceit, deceit, egotism, stubbornness, pride, hypocrisy, ignorance and delusion, fear, hatred, godlessness, and being solely devoted to satisfying passion-driven, sensual, and lustful desires. And these are all the ways of the world. But the Gita wants us to aspire to something much better. Thank you, Yogini Joanne. Those are the saintly virtues and the demonic qualities as I've discerned them from the Gita.
Beautiful.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Revive Active. Available at selected Holland & Barrett stores, Well Pharmacies, and online at Amazon and reviveactive.com. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
That's like the, you know, the ego and the divine self, which is always our choice to act upon every day when we wake up. Yes, it's our choice to act upon that and then become that, and then be an example for others to act upon the divine virtues, which are inherent in every single one of us. because we're all that soul consciousness and that flame of God goddess within.
Absolutely.
So beautiful.
Absolutely.
So beautiful. So beautiful. And wow, this one, we've just talked about this. According to the Bhagavad Gita, what is the nature of the soul and how can the soul or Atman attain final liberation? And what does final, what is final liberation in your wise, wise wisdom?
Thank you, Yogini Joanne. And this might be difficult for Westerners to wrap their heads around, but I'll have a go. The soul, or the Atman, or the self, is described in the Gita as eternal energy, or consciousness, or awareness, and it cannot be destroyed. Our energy cannot be destroyed, and the NDEers, they also agree on that point. Our mortal body, of course, is perishable, but the soul is eternal. And when it enters the world of spirit, it becomes ubiquitous. It expands, becomes one with everything. But I digress here to describe how the near-death experiencers describe the soul, because I think it is consistent with the way the Gita describes the Atman. Our soul is our pure essence. It is who and what we truly are at the deepest foundational level. Hindu seers and sages describe the soul as our mind, primarily our mind. And our mind creates thoughts. Our mind creates our own personal reality, our feelings and emotions, our will. Our soul includes our sensory perception capacities, particularly our sight and hearing, which we retain in the world of spirit. And as I would describe the soul, this is my own gloss or interpretation, our soul is basically us, minus our physical body. Now, this is the tricky part. The Gita uses a number of different terms. For example, in chapter 2, it refers to samadhi, communion or union with God, liberation. It also refers to Brahma Nirvana, eternal bliss or union or dissolution. And chapter 4 of the Gita refers to Mukti, M-U-K-T-I, as involving liberation or final salvation. And you would know more about these terms than I do. But to me, they seem to be essentially connoting the same thing, final liberation, but perhaps with somewhat different nuances or emphases.
Enlightenment, self-realization.
Yes.
Oneness, one being being one. It's that divine union. There is no separation. Yeah. We come back to that oneness, which we was all born from, the singular reality, the God, Goddess, heavenly realms. And then our soul gets denser and denser and is born into this duality, the dual reality, where we have that separation. Yes. But the ultimate is to join, isn't it? To merge.
Beautifully said. Yes. It is emerging with light. We become love itself. We attain union with Brahman. Now, we'll look at it in somewhat more detail. Chapter 15 of the Gita says, the more that one's mind is restrained, the more one is awakened. And this is what your show is all about, an awakening. It is necessary to conquer or completely control the mind. And I've said this in my book on transcendental spirituality, wisdom, and virtue. We must purify the upstream or the source in order to cleanse the downstream waters. So we must purify our thoughts in order to cleanse or purify our words and deeds. It's all about controlling our thoughts, deeds, and actions. The Gita also says in chapter 14 that certain things bind the soul. These are cravings, clinging to something, desire and attachment. These bind rather than liberate the soul. Detachment is necessary. We have to detach from material possessions, fame and glory, and we must become desireless to liberate the soul. And this is referred to in chapter 18 of the Gita as sannyasa. So we must become the master of our mind. And in chapter 8 of the Gita, it says, we must try to confine the mind to the heart. You know, I read so many near-death experience written accounts where the author said that when we hurt others, we hurt ourselves. And that all comes back to this oneness, this interconnected oneness. So that is so accurate, Yogini Joanne. And if we realize that by harming others, not simply other human beings, but members of the animal kingdom, any sentient beings, we are harming ourselves. And God, God's energy and consciousness exists in all life forms. So we have to remind ourselves to be compassionate and empathetic towards all sentient living beings.
Yes, that's what Jesus said. What you give out, so shall you receive. Wow, Douglas, you blow my mind every time, and you bring out, like, it's like the, when you talk, it's like this stuff comes out that has been dormant inside of me that acknowledges deeper and deeper truths. It's just wonderful.
And you've known this already, Yogini Joanne, because you do meditation yoga. So all of this is known to you.
Yes, that is.
Yeah.
Wow,
but I'm
Douglas.
Channeling the Gita.
Yes. And what a wonderful manual for mankind. Everyone should go out and read the Gita because it's just fantastic. It can never, you know, and it's so needed at this time of this great awakening. Douglas, what can I say? Thank you so much for all of your divine wisdom that comes from source, that comes from, you know, your hard work of all of your wonderful research that you do. You are on a divine mission to bring and to help people awaken. And I just want to thank you so much for being on the Great Awakening Show.
It is my absolute pleasure, Yogini Joanne. What I'm attempting to do is to bring souls to God and also to help Westerners in particular to appreciate the beauty and sacredness of Hindu scripture and the divine law of the Dharma, because we all can trace our origins back to the source.
Yes.
And we are all an interconnected oneness. And once we realize that, we need not know anything else.
Exactly. That's the only sacred knowledge that is our liberation. Thank you.